All right, well, last week we ended a series on the subject of capturing our community for Christ. And this next coming week, we're going to be starting a brand new series on the subject of the family. We're going to be talking about all sorts of things. We're going to talk about the power of a submissive wife. We're going to be talking about a Christ-like husband. We're going to talk about breaking generational curses. We're going to be talking about disciplining your children and all sorts of different things. But this morning, I'm just going to preach a standalone sermon, which I don't do a lot anymore, but I want to talk to you this morning on a subject that I think we are missing a lot of in our culture today. I believe that in the American culture, and I don't know that it's just American, it might be the entire world, but I believe that we are failing to teach previous generations and even, and of course, future generations, certain things that we used to talk a lot about when I was a kid. I remember my dad and my mom talking a lot to us as children. I remember being in Sunday school or being in church and having pastors talk about things like loyalty and character and integrity. Those are things that we don't really talk about anymore. And this morning, I want to speak to you on the subject of loyalty, lessons for loyalty. And I want to teach you from the scripture and show you from the Bible what it means to be a loyal person. The dictionary defines the word loyalty as giving or showing firm and constant support or allegiance, characterized or showing faithfulness to commitment, vows, and obligations. And it's easy to define the word loyalty, but I think it's better to describe the word loyalty and the characteristics of loyal people. We're going to be in the books of 1 and 2 Samuel this morning. We're just going to be flipping through and showing a bunch of different stories and going through a lot of different things. So I want you to be ready to flip with me and to go through different passages. We'll stay in 1 and 2 Samuel, though. And I want to give you 10 statements this morning. I would encourage you to write these down. You should have in your bulletin and the course of the week on the back. You should have a place for sermon notes. You should have all sorts of different handouts and things you can write on. I would encourage you to write these down. I understand if you've got a baby or a child on your lap, you might not be able to do that. But I want to give you 10 statements. And they're not catchy statements. They're not alliterated. So you may want to just write them down. I'll repeat them several times and give them to you. But I want to talk to you about this idea of loyalty and really about raising loyal people. And here you may be here this morning and you say, this sermon doesn't apply to me or I don't need to hear this. But you know what? At the very least, I thought about this as I was writing the sermon. At the very least, I want my children, and Joshua and Joel and Elizabeth and Lydia, I want them to be listening to what it means to be loyal. My desire is to raise children that have correct loyalties and that know how to be a loyal person. Here in 1 Samuel chapter number 24, we probably find the most quintessential story of loyalty that you find in Scripture. You're there in 1 Samuel 24. Look down at verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, Behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi." If you remember, Saul is hunting down David. Saul is literally hunting him for his life, has caused David to flee his home, flee his family, running for his life. Notice verse 2. "Then Saul took 3,000 chosen men out of all Israel and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes." And by the way, wild goats is not generally where, where wild goats live is not generally where people, you're up in rocky mountains, you're up in high mountains, but that's where David had to go to run, to hide for his life. And the Bible says there in verse number 3, "And he came to the sheepcotes by the way where was the cave." And notice what it says, "And Saul went in to cover his feet." Now, that phrase, to cover his feet, when you see that in Scripture, just know that's a euphemism for when the Bible is saying he went in to use the bathroom, all right? He went in to use the restroom there in the cave. Saul went in to cover his feet, and David and his men, notice, remained in the sides of the cave. Talk about the providence of God, that David and his men would have heard of Saul coming to find him, and they hid in this cave. And out of all places, Saul would choose this cave to go in. And of course, usually Saul would travel with all, he did have all his men with him, but usually he'd have guards with him at all times. But because of the fact that he was going in to do something private, to cover his feet, to use the restroom, the Bible says that he went in by himself. Notice verse 3, and David and his men remained on the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy into thine hands, that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. And David arose and cut off the skirt of Saul's robe. So Saul walks in, begins to use the restroom, and all of David's men are like, what an opportunity. I mean, the Lord has delivered thine enemy into thine hand. Notice verse 6. And he said unto his men, this is David speaking, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master. Why don't you notice this phrase, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. Notice verse 7. So David stayed his servants with these words and suffered them not to rise against Saul. But Saul rose up out of the cave and went on his way. This is, other than David and Goliath, this is probably one of the most famous passages or stories of the life of David, where he had the opportunity to kill Saul and he chose not to. And I want you to notice that the reason he gave for not rising up against Saul was not because Saul was a great person. It was not because Saul deserved it, but simply because he said, I should not do this thing unto my master. And he said this, the Lord's anointed. He said, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he, talking about Saul, he is the anointed of the Lord. You're there in 1 Samuel 24. I flip a few pages over to 1 Samuel chapter 26. I want you to notice, this is not the only time in Scripture that David had this opportunity. Two times did David have the opportunity to take the life of Saul and chose not to. And I want you to notice what God highlights for us in the story of David. And by the way, David is one of the most important characters in Scripture. The Bible tells about David that David was a man that walked after God's own heart. The Bible tells us that the Lord Jesus Christ will reign during the millennial reign in the kingdom of David. He'll reign in the place of David, in the throne of David. 1 Samuel 26, notice verse number 7. The Bible says, so David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping. And we don't have time to develop the context, because we're going to look at a lot of stories. But David basically goes to a couple of men, and he says, hey, who wants to go down with me to the camp of Saul? And Abishai says, I'll go. And they go down, and Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. And Abner and the people lay round about him. And if you remember, the spear of Saul was several times hurled at David to attempt to kill David. It was even hurled at Jonathan, Saul's son, when Jonathan attempted to defend David. And here David is with the opportunity to take that same spear and to take the life of Saul. Notice verse 8. Then said Abishai to David, God had delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. He says, David, you don't have to worry. If you allow me to smite him, I'll just need one hit. I'll just need one shot. No one will hear it. No one will even wake up. We can take care of this problem right now. Notice verse 9. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against? Notice what he says. The Lord's anointed, and be guiltless. David said, furthermore, as the Lord liveth, and the Lord shall smite him, or his days shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. Notice verse 11, and the Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the, notice the phrase again, the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is at his bolster and the cruse of water, and let us go. So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they got them away, and no man saw it nor knew it, neither awake, for they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. Of course, that makes sense, because you'd think if you're in a military compound, you'd have some guards that are supposed to be awake throughout the night, but the Lord made them sleep. But I want you to notice, two different times, David had the opportunity to take the the life of Saul. But David chose not to. And over he says, because he's the Lord's anointed. Because he's the Lord's anointed. And what that phrase means is that God had literally chosen Saul to be in the position of king in the nation of Israel. Samuel had literally anointed Saul. And he was the Lord's anointed. I'd like you to write down this statement if you're taking notes this morning. Here's point number one. Loyalty will give allegiance to positions, not necessarily people. Loyalty will give allegiance to positions, not necessarily people. See, what you and I want to do in our flesh is give our loyalty to people or personalities. When we like someone, we want to give them our loyalty. When we don't like someone, we don't want to give them our loyalty. But what you find highlighted in this passage is that David and God is speaking in a good light, that David was showing loyalty to Saul, not because of who Saul was, but because of the position that Saul held. And you need to understand that loyalty will give allegiance to positions, not necessarily people. See, today you will have wives who will say, well, it's okay for me to not submit to my husband. Or it's okay for me to not reverence my husband. Or it's okay for me to not show respect towards my husband. And we might say, well, the Bible says that you're supposed to submit to your husband. They'll say, well, you don't know my husband. And you don't know what he's done. And you don't know the secrets in his life. And you don't know how he treats me. And you don't know this. And you don't know that. And you don't know that he doesn't provide. Or you don't know that he's lazy. Or you don't know that he's drinks. Or you don't know. But here's the thing. I don't need to know your husband, because here's what I know. Loyalty will give allegiance to a position, not necessarily a person. See, you're supposed to be loyal to your husband no matter what type of man he is, simply because of his position. By the way, man, you're supposed to be loyal to your wife. You say, well, my wife, she's not good to me, and she's lazy, and she doesn't cook, or she doesn't clean, or she doesn't listen. But look, it doesn't matter, because loyalty will give allegiance to positions, not necessarily people. When the people are doing wrong in their position, God tells us and God highlights for us that it was right for David to show loyalty because it was his position. He was the Lord's anointed. Children will say, well, if you knew what my parents come to church and they put on a certain front, but at home they're different. But you know what? You honor your parents anyway. Well, yeah, my parents, you know, at church they act a certain way, but then at home they act. Well, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. You say, well, why? Why shouldn't I? My dad's a fake. My mom's a hypocrite. They act a certain way at church, and they act a certain way. They come to church, and it's all praise the Lord and hallelujah. And at home, it's fighting, and it's arguing, and it's. But listen, kids, you show loyalty to the position that God has given those people. It doesn't matter who the people are. Loyalty, and look, people don't want to hear this today. People don't want to, and we're not talking about, you know, we're not talking about sin. You know, we're not talking about, you know, if a pastor's committing adultery, the pastor needs to go, all right? If your dad is burying a body in the backyard, you need to let somebody know that, okay? We're not talking about hiding their sin or helping them to sin. But look, when it comes to your loyalty, loyalty will give allegiance to positions, not necessarily people. We will often excuse our disloyalty by saying, well, if you knew that pastor, well, if you knew my husband, well, if you knew my wife, well, if you knew my teacher, well, if you knew my boss, hey, you know what? Employees, you ought to be loyal to your boss. You say, why? Just because they hold the position of being your boss. You say, well, my boss is lazy. My boss takes long breaks. My boss doesn't come in half the time. My boss, hey, whatever it is your boss does, you just show him loyalty based on his position. That's what the Bible says. And look, today people don't understand this. Today they think, I'll be loyal as long as I like you. But listen, Saul did not like David. Saul was trying to kill David. I'm sure David wasn't fond of Saul. But David refused to show disloyalty. Not because of Saul, because of who Saul was, but because of the position that Saul held. Loyalty will give allegiance to positions, not necessarily people. Go to 2 Samuel chapter number 15. 2 Samuel chapter number 15. I said, number one, loyalty will give allegiance to positions, not necessarily people. Number two, and by the way, don't take, because people can take these out of context too. All these 10 statements go together. So let's get them all down, and then you'll get a picture of what loyalty means. Loyalty will give allegiance to positions, not necessarily people. Number two, loyalty will carefully choose to whom it will give its allegiance. So, because you can say, well, Pastor, you're saying loyalty gives its allegiance to positions, not people. So if I, you know, if I have a pastor or I have a husband or I have an employer or I have, and those people are bad people, am I just stuck being loyal to that individual? Well, here's the thing. You should, you know, you are if you're married. And yeah, if you're taking a paycheck, yeah, you are. I mean, obviously, you can go find a job somewhere else, or you can go find a church somewhere else. But look, while those individuals hold that position, you are to be loyal to them. But let me say this. Number two, loyalty will carefully choose to whom it will give its allegiance. Are you there in 2 Samuel 15? Look at verse number 14. 2 Samuel 15 and verse 14. And David said unto all his servants that were with him at Jerusalem, arise and let us flee. David is now running for the second time in his life. The first time it was against Saul, his father-in-law. The second time it was against Absalom, his son. Notice what he says. Arise, let us flee, for we shall not else escape from Absalom. Make speed to depart, lest he overtake us suddenly and bring evil upon us and smite the city with the edge of the sword. If you remember, Absalom had stolen the hearts of the people, and he was conducting a civil war against David, attempting to dethrone his own father. Absalom, a very disloyal young man. Look down at verse number 17, just for sake of time. 2 Samuel 15 and verse 17. And the king went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was far off. And all his servants passed on beside him. So when David was running for his life, his servants were very loyal to him. And by the way, you know, let me just explain something to you. Those of you that are in positions of leadership, you ought to be very interested in a sermon like this, because the way you show loyalty to those that are your leaders will be the way that your followers show loyalty to you. Some of you have problems with a wife who's not submissive, but you're not submissive at work. You know, your wife complains and doesn't want to listen to you, but then you go home, you go to work and complain about your boss and doesn't want to listen to your boss. The Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You better be careful about how you treat those in authority. Well, I don't have to be loyal to no man. All right. Here's all I know is David was, and he was a man after God's own heart, so what does that make you? A man after whose heart? 2 Samuel 15, look at verse 17. And the queen went forth, and all the people after him, and tarried in a place that was afar off. And all his servants passed on beside him, and all the Kerethites, and the Pelethites, and the Gittites, 600 men which came after him from Gath, passed on before the king. Notice verse 19. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite. This is one of my favorite characters in the life of David. Ittai the Gittite. Not just because his name's cool, but because of who he is. Notice what it says. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? So all of the men are coming with David, and he's like, yep, let's go. But then he sees Ittai the Gittite, and he says, why are you coming with us? Wherefore goest thou also with us? Notice what he says to him in verse 19. Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art, talking about Absalom, abide with the king Absalom, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. You say, why is David telling Ittai to go be with Absalom and not to come with him? Notice verse 20. Here's why. Whereas thou comest but yesterday. Here's what David is saying to Ittai. He said, you just got here. I don't know if he literally just got there yesterday. But he's saying, you haven't been with us very long. You've only been here since yesterday. He says, whereas thou comest yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us? Seeing I go whither I may, return thou and take back thy brethren. Mercy and truth be with thee. Here's what David was saying. Ittai, I don't expect your loyalty. I haven't served you as king. You just got here. You can stick around and just serve Absalom. You haven't been with us very long. You just got here but yesterday. But notice the huge loyalty of Ittai. Notice verse 21. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth and as my lord the king liveth. Notice what he says. Surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. So you know, Ittai made a decision. And he made this decision that he was going to be loyal to David. That he was going to follow David. And literally, it might be literally the next day, the kingdom of David falls apart. But you know what? Loyalty will carefully choose to whom it will give its allegiance. Ittai did not have to sit there and reconsider, is this what I should actually do? Is this what God wants me to do? Ittai had made a choice. Ittai had decided, I will follow David. I will be loyal to David. He said, I don't have to reconsider it. Loyalty will carefully choose to whom it will give its allegiance. Listen to me very carefully. It is dishonest to get married. It is dishonest to get married. It is dishonest to stand at an altar and promise to give your life to another individual and then not give your spouse your loyalty. It is dishonest. Listen to me very carefully, please. I don't know why parents don't teach this or why, you know, public schools should be teaching this. It is dishonest to take a job and then to not give your boss your loyalty. That is dishonest. It is dishonest to join a church and not give your pastor your loyalty. It is dishonest. It is a lack of character. It is a lack of integrity. See, Ittai said, I enlisted in David's army and I thought it through. I knew what I was doing. See, if you choose, please, young people, listen to me. Marriage is a lifetime commitment. That's why I'm not excited about these short, you know, engagements where I just met them. Let's go to Vegas and get married. Look, you're committing yourself to someone for life. Make sure you make the right choice because you're going to be expected to be loyal to that position, whether that person is who they said they are or not. See, loyalty will give allegiance to a position, not necessarily people. But loyalty will also carefully choose to whom it will give its allegiance. Ittai had thought it through. Ittai had counted the cost. Ittai decided, I will be loyal to David. Number three, go to 1 Samuel 24. 1 Samuel 24. Back to the story of Saul. 1 Samuel 24. Number one, loyalty will give its allegiance to positions, not necessarily people. And number two, loyalty will carefully choose to whom it will give its allegiance. Number three, here's statement number three. Loyalty does not seek to hurt even after a break in relationship. Loyalty does not seek to hurt even after a break in relationship. 1 Samuel 24 and verse number 6, the Bible says, and he said unto his men, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed. Notice what he says. Notice what David said. He said, what do you mean, David? Because here's the thing. David was no longer in the kingdom of Saul. In fact, if you read the story, David had left. He literally jumped out a window and ran away. He was the king's second man. He was the man that played the harp for the king. He was the king's armor bearer. He was a captain of the host. He was one of the men that went out and went before the king. He was serving with Saul, but he no longer was. That relationship had been broken. He literally left the kingdom. He ran away from the kingdom. But even in that state, David said, I'm not willing to do this. I'm not willing to stretch forth mine hand against him. Say, why, David? Because he is the anointed of the Lord. Because I decided a long time ago that I would be loyal to that position. And loyalty does not seek to hurt even after a break in relationship. Notice he says the same thing in 1 Samuel 26. We saw it already, but look at it real quickly. Just a couple chapters over. 1 Samuel 26, verse 11. 1 Samuel 26, verse 11. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. But I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is in the holster and the cruse of water and let us go. He said, I will not hurt. He said, I will not seek to hurt. You say, why? Because loyalty does not seek to hurt or even to hurt even after a break in relationship. My wife and I, many years ago, were actively involved in a church, a good church, a soul winning church. We don't have this here, but at that church, they had a bus ministry where they would send buses out to pick children up for church and bring them to church. I was a bus captain. My wife was my helper. We ran the largest bus route in that church. And I'm not saying this to be proud or arrogant. I'm just telling you, we worked hard at it. We would spend 4 or 5 hours every Saturday working our bus route. All the other buses would bring in between 20 and 25 people. Our bus route averaged somewhere between 60 and 70. We just worked hard at it. We gave our lives to it. The pastor saw that we were interested in souls and we were interested in getting these kids saved. He actually asked me to lead the soul winning ministry. Everything you see that we do here at Verity Baptist Church, the maps and the directions and having areas, I did that not as a paid position, just as a volunteer at this church for years. We served there. We would get there. Our Sundays started at 6 a.m. on the bus. We would be back. Our Sunday morning would be done. We would be back with the bus ministry at 3 p.m. We'd have about an hour to go get lunch somewhere, and then we'd be back for choir. We'd be back for Sunday night. On Wednesday night, we taught the King's Kids ministry, where we taught the children, and my wife taught the younger children, and I taught some of the older children, and we shared some of those responsibilities with other people. I'm just telling you, we loved this church, and we served in this church, and we cared about this church. And unfortunately, this church began to change its position on the doctrine of repentance. And this idea of repenting of your sins began to creep into the church. And I was even asked to start teaching soul winning that included the idea of repentance. And I couldn't sin against my own conscience. And I, of course, did not believe in that. And we ended up leaving the church. And we went to another church. Now, I remember we were at this other church for a few weeks. And this real gossip lady, you know, you always know the gossips in the church. The ones that know every, you know, the lady that if you need to know anything, go to so-and-so because they know it all. Well, this lady shows up at the church we were at. And we're like, that's weird. Why is Miss So-and-so here? And right after the service, she makes a beeline to us, and she comes to us, and she wants to know all the juicy details, why we left, why we weren't there, why we weren't running the bus anymore, why I wasn't doing the soul. She wanted to know everything. And you know, my wife and I just refused to say a negative thing about our old church and our old pastor. We just said, you know, we chose to leave. We're just leaving quietly. It was just our choice. And we chose to say not one negative word about our pastor and our church. You say, why? Because loyalty does not seek to hurt even after a break in relationship. Because when you decide to be loyal to someone, even if there's sin in the camp, even if there's a problem that causes you to break your relationship, David would say, I will not stretch forth mine hand against him. Loyalty will give its allegiance to positions, not necessarily people. Loyalty will carefully choose to whom it will give its allegiance. Loyalty does not seek to hurt, even after a break in relationship. Number four, loyalty will stick around even when things are not going well. 2 Samuel chapter 15, look at verse number 20. We already saw the story, but let's look at it again. 2 Samuel 15 and verse 20, the Bible says, whereas thou comest but yesterday. Remember, this is David speaking to Ittai, the Gittite. 2 Samuel 15 and verse 20, whereas thou comest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us, seeing I go whither I may? David said, you just got here, Ittai. I'm not going to make you go up and down or hiding in the wilderness. Who knows when we're going to come back? Who knows if we will ever come back? He says, and take back thy brethren, mercy and truth be with thee. But notice what Ittai said again in verse 21. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. See, loyalty sticks around even when things are not going well. Loyalty is not a fair weather friend. Loyalty will say, hey, I'm going to be with you whether in death or life. Hey, by the way, that's why when you get married, we have you say these words, till death do us part. For better or for worse, through sickness and in health, for richer or poorer. See, some of you ladies, you're upset at your husband and you think, well, he doesn't provide enough. And I look down at all these other families and they've got nicer vehicles and bigger houses and they're doing better. My husband's a failure. But you know what? You said to richer or poorer. I didn't know that it was going to work out this way. And I thought my wife was one thing and she ended up being another thing. And she's not respectful and she's not submissive. Yeah, but you said for better or worse. You said till death do us part. See, loyalty will stick around. Even when the protesters show up, it'll stick around. Amen. Even when the media turns on your pastor, it'll stick around. See, because loyalty will stick around. Even when Absalom takes the kingdom and now all of a sudden, the guy you just signed up for his team yesterday, you just enlisted yesterday, and now he's no longer the king. Now he's running like a fugitive. Now he's being hunted like a dog. Ittai would say, hey, loyalty sticks around. Even when things aren't going well. Go to 2 Samuel 18. 2 Samuel 18. I said, number one, loyalty will give allegiance to positions, not necessarily people. Not necessarily personalities. Number two, loyalty will carefully choose to whom it will give its allegiance. Number three, loyalty does not seek to hurt even after a break in fellowship. In relationship. Number four, loyalty will stick around even when things are not going well. Number five, loyalty will not pursue its own agenda. Loyalty will not pursue its own agenda. Are you there in 2 Samuel 18? Remember, Absalom had brought a war against David. And though Absalom was a very disloyal young man, David was a very loyal father. And David gave a very clear command to his generals before the battle with Absalom. 2 Samuel 18, look at verse 5. And the king, that's David, commanded, notice who he commanded, Joab, Abishai. I want you to notice this word, Ittai. I want you to understand something. David is the king. He's got three generals. One of them is Joab. One of them is Abishai. One of them is Ittai. We just read Ittai just got there yesterday. So how did Ittai go from getting there yesterday to now being a general? It's one word, loyalty. Some of you are not getting a promotion at work because you're disloyal. That's why. You think it's because of my race. You think it's because of my color. You think it's because of the past. It's because you complain. It's because you criticize. It's because you badmouth the boss. Look, you want to get promoted. Hey, you want to be promoted at Mary Baptist Church? Quit gossiping about Pastor Jimenez and his wife. How about there? How about starting there? That'd be a good place to start. I'd like to be a general. Okay, well, be loyal. Ittai got there yesterday and all of a sudden he's now in charge. Notice what David said. And the king, David, commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man, even with Absalom. And all the people heard when the king gave all the captains charge concerning Absalom. Skip down to verse number 9. Now look, let me say this. Whether it was right or wrong for David to make that decision, it was David's decision to make. I'm not saying it was right for David to say, don't hurt Absalom. I'm not saying it was wrong. I'm just saying this. David's the king. David makes the choice. David just said, hey, don't hurt Absalom. Bring him back alive. You say, well, that was a wrong decision. It may have been a wrong decision, but it was his wrong decision to make. Amen. Notice verse 9. And Absalom met the servants of David. And Absalom rode upon a mule, and the mule went under the thick boughs of a great oak, and his head caught hold on the oak. That's why you need to get a haircut. And he was taken up between the heaven and the earth, and the mule that was under him went away. And a certain man saw it and told Joab and said, behold, I saw Absalom hang in an oak. Notice verse 14. Then said Joab, I may not tarry thus with thee. And he took three darts in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men that bare Joab's armor compassed about and smote Absalom and slew him. All of them heard David say, be gentle with the young man Absalom. But Joab chose to pursue his own agenda. Joab was a very disloyal man. See, Joab thought he knew better. He thought it would be best. But let me tell you something. Joab was disloyal. Listen to me very carefully. A wife who chooses to do something that her husband has specifically told her not to do, there's only one word for her. It's disloyal. A child who chooses to take steps that their parents have specifically told them not to take, there's only one word to describe that child. It's disloyal. An employee who chooses to take action that he knows specifically his boss does not want them to take. There's only one word for that employee. It's disloyal. You say, well, I know better. You're disloyal. Well, he doesn't understand. No, it's one word, disloyal. A church member who chooses to do something that they know their pastor does not want them to do. There's one word to describe that church member, disloyal.
That's right.
That's what it comes down to. I'm sorry that some of you weren't taught. I wish some of you had parents like the parents I had growing up when we were 8 and 9 and 10 and 11 years old. I have memories, and I hope my children will have similar memories. I have memories of sitting as a family on our couches, and our life wasn't perfect and our home wasn't perfect, and please don't think that. But I have memories of sitting around on a couch with my mom and my dad and then teaching us this idea of loyalty. I remember my mom and dad saying, you know, we were born in Venezuela, but we're not loyal to Venezuela. You know, you got all these Hispanics that want to, oh, my flag, loyal to my country. We've never taught that. We're taught, my dad would tell us, we're not loyal to Venezuela. You're not loyal to America. You know who we're loyal to? The Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's what we were taught. I'm sorry that you were never taught the idea of loyalty. But when your husband says, don't do this, and you go and do it anyway, you know what you are? Disloyal. When you choose to not involve the leadership, when you choose to run around the leadership, when you choose to take steps that bypass the leadership, there's just one word to describe it. It's disloyal. Loyalty will involve the leadership. Loyalty will keep the leader in the loop. Listen, teen, loyalty won't hide things from your parents. Listen, employee, loyalty won't bypass the boss. Say, but he's making the wrong choices. He's making an emotional choice. David is making an emotional choice. Absalom's the enemy. I know, you think you know better. But it's not your place to make that choice. See, loyalty will not pursue its own agenda. Loyalty will involve leadership. A loyal wife will go to her husband and say, honey, I was considering doing this, but I'd like your permission. I can't believe you would say that. A wife asking the permission of her husband? Yeah, that's exactly what I said. Sarah, the Bible says that Sarah called her husband in her heart. She called him Lord. Amen. You know what that means? It means your boss. Sarah would go to Abraham and say, hey, boss, can I get your permission to do X, Y, and Z? That's what a loyal person does. A loyal child will go to their parents for permission. A loyal employee will go to their boss for permission. I didn't show you my loyalty. I didn't ask permission to tell this. I hope it's okay with Brother Nate, but I want to tell this story. Brother Nate came to me a couple of weeks ago about doing a soul winning event in Yuba City. And I was so impressed with Brother Nate. And I'm not saying this to give you a big head, Brother Nate, so please, if I got to say something bad about you to humble you, I can, all right? Brother Nate came up to me. This is what he said. He said, Pastor, I'd like to do a soul winning event in Yuba City. Here's what he said. He said, may I have your permission? He involved me. He allowed me not only to decide if he could do it, he allowed me to decide when and where. And by the way, we're doing a soul winning event in Yuba City. Let me announce that later on this fall. And I was able to look at my calendar and say, you know, this doesn't work and this doesn't work and I'll be out of town at this time, but could we do it here? And we're still trying to figure out those details because I'd like him to be a part of it and he's traveling as well. But he came to me and he said, hey, can we do this? And then he asks this is what I'm most impressed with. He asks, what can I do to alleviate the added work of my request? I said, well, if you can find us a park and you can find us some maps. He made maps and they were great. I mean, he mapped out the whole, if someone goes to start a church in Yuba City, we've got all the maps you need. I mean, he literally did a great job. And Brother Stuckey does our maps here and he looked at his maps. He's like, wow, this is great. This is wonderful. I'm just telling you, loyalty does not pursue its own agenda. Number 6, 2 Samuel, go to 16, chapter 16. 2 Samuel 16, look at verse 5. 2 Samuel 16 and verse 5. 2 Samuel 16 and verse 5, the Bible says, and when King David came to Bahurim, behold, thence came out a man of a family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. He came forth to curse still as he came. David is running from Absalom. David is running for his life. And here comes this man, Shimei. And the Bible says he cursed still as he came. Notice verse 6. And as he cast stones at David and at all the servants of King David and all the people and all the mighty men were on his right hand and on his left. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man and thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom thy son. And behold, thou art taken in thy mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Then said Abishai. Remember Abishai? Abishai was the guy who was willing to go down with David to the host when they were sleeping, Saul. I like Abishai. One of these days I'm going to preach a sermon about Abishai. Notice verse 9. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, Why should this dead dog curse my lord, the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. Now look, Abishai didn't always have all the greatest ideas, but you got to like his zeal. Number six, loyalty will not remain neutral or silent, but actively defend. Loyalty will not remain neutral or silent, but actively defend. Here you have Abishai hearing Shimei. They're losing. They're in retreat. But he says, I'm not going to sit here and allow Shimei to curse and badmouth my king. The wife or husband that allows his in-laws to badmouth their spouse and says nothing is disloyal. I pastored enough time to understand how much of trouble this is. So you think, ah, he's talking about me. I'm talking about like seven of you. The wife or husband that allows their in-laws to badmouth their spouse and says nothing is disloyal. I'm thankful that my wife time and time has defended me to certain family members. Your husband, he's leading a cult. What you say, honey? Well, I was nervous. I just didn't say anything. No, that's not being loyal. That's not being loyal. The wife and husband that allows in-laws and bad mouth, I'm thankful that my wife has defended me. You know why? Because loyalty will not remain neutral or silent, but actively defend. The employee that allows other employees to badmouth their boss and says nothing is disloyal. Listen to me. The church member that allows other church members or ex-church members to badmouth their pastor and says nothing is disloyal. You know, I think if you're going to gossip, if you're going to sit there and gossip and criticize your employee, listen to me very carefully. If you're going to sit there and go to work on Monday and receive a paycheck from your boss, and you're going to sit there and either gossip or criticize your boss or allow others to gossip and criticize your boss without standing up like Shimei and saying, let me cut off his head. Joking, of course. If you're going to sit there and criticize your boss, you know what here's what I believe. The only right thing for you to do, if you have an ounce of integrity in your body, what integrity would demand of you is that you resign. I'm going to go to work and let my boss pay my bills and go to work and sit there and badmouth them the whole time. No, you are a disloyal person. So what should I do? Stop or resign? I think that if you, look, I think that if you work here, and I don't think we have a problem with this at Verity Baptist Church. I don't think we have a problem with this. But let me say it for our employees now and any future employees. I think if you work here and you or your spouse is gossiping or criticizing the pastor, the pastor's wife, the ministry here, you know, the right thing, what the integrity would demand of you is that you resign. Why should I pay your bills so you can gossip about my wife? Why should I pay you so you can criticize our programs? I think that if you're a church member here and you're gossiping or criticizing about me or about my wife or about our ministry or about other church members, the right thing, the integrity thing for you to do, if there's an ounce of integrity in your body, the right thing for you to do is to leave. I can't believe you're saying, no, it's just called being loyal. Amen. It's just called having loyalty. It's just called having integrity. I realize that we don't teach these things and we don't have these things. And there was a day in America when Penn had loyalty and integrity and their word meant something and their handshake meant something, but that day is gone. But it should not be gone here. It should not be gone here. I said, number one, loyalty will give allegiance to positions, not necessarily people. Number two, loyalty will carefully choose to whom it will give its allegiance. Number three, loyalty does not seek to hurt even after a break in relationship. Number four, loyalty will stick around even when things are not going well. Number five, loyalty will not pursue its own agendas. Number six, loyalty will not remain neutral or silent, but actively defend. Number seven, loyalty will seek to please those to whom loyalty is given. Are there in 2 Samuel? Or I'm not sure where you are. Go to 2 Samuel 23. 2 Samuel 23. What I'm about to say, some of you, it's going to be the worst part of the sermon, the one you hate the most. But here's the thing, it's in the Bible and God highlights it for a reason. Amen. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 15. Loyalty will seek to please those to whom loyalty is given. Now keep in mind that you are to carefully choose who you give your loyalty to. If you can't work for that individual without bad-mouthing them, then you need to go find another job. If you can't come to this church without bad-mouthing me, then you need to go find another church. carefully choose who you give your loyalty to, but once you've chosen your loyalty, hey, loyalty will seek to please those to whom loyalty is given. Carefully choose a spouse, but once you've chosen, give them your loyalty. You children, God chose for you. You can't get a better choice than that. Well, God, you don't understand. God put you there for a reason. Here's all I know. All things work together for good. 2 Samuel 23, verse 15. And David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew water out of the well of Bethlehem, which was on the other side of enemy lines. That was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof and poured it out unto the Lord." He poured it out as an offering. But here's the thing. They heard him say, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well." And these three men break through the host of the Philistines to bring him water. You say, why? Because loyalty will seek to please those to whom loyalty is given. During World War II, there was a group of men called Ike's Boys. They guarded General Dwight Eisenhower. One of them told a story about how they stocked a pond with fish from a nearby creek after overhearing Eisenhower's wish to go fishing. During the Civil War, General Robert E. Lee sent word to General Stonewall Jackson that he would like to see him the next time he was in the area. As soon as Jackson got the message, he rode 8 miles on horseback through a heavy snowstorm to see General Lee. General Lee said, "Stonewall, I did not send for you. I just said the next time you are in the area, I would like to see you." Jackson replied, "I know that, but you said you wish to see me, and your slightest wish is my command." He said, "What a suck up." No, you know what? He was a loyal man. I think that's one of the reasons Stonewall Jackson went down in history as one of the greatest military men in American history. He was just a loyal person. These three mighty men, they break through the host of the Philistines. And here's the thing. If me even saying that rubs you the wrong way, I can't believe you said that. You got to examine your heart. No one's saying you got to do nice things for your boss, but when it bothers you that somebody else does something nice for your boss, examine your heart. I think wives should seek to please their husbands. And by the way, loyalty goes both ways. I think husbands should seek to please their wife. I think children should seek to please their parents. I think employees should seek to please their employers. Why? Because loyalty will seek to please those to whom loyalty is given. A few weeks or months ago, I don't remember now, I was gone on a preaching trip, having more and more preaching trips come up. And while I was gone, some of the men of the church got together and purchased me a little mini refrigerator for my office, and they stocked it with glass bottled Cokes. Amen. And you say, "Oh, wow, a bunch of suck-ups." No, you know, I just think they're loyal. Just I think last week or the week before that, some of the ladies got together and purchased my wife an Instant Pot. My wife said, "The ladies bought me an Instant Pot." I said, "They weren't at that dispensary over there, were they?" "No, it's a special thing. It's revolutionized her life, by the way. I mean, she loves it. We've ate like every meal that has been an Instant Pot." But she said to the ladies, "Why did you do this? It's not my birthday." They said, "We just wanted to thank you for everything you do around here." "Sorry. Bunch of sock ups." No, you know, I think they're just loyal. Amen. I think they just show appreciation. And by the way, no one's saying you have to do these things. I'm just saying if it bothers, just me saying that bothers you, I'd examine your heart. What's wrong with your heart that you lack loyalty? Go to 2 Samuel 16. 2 Samuel 16. Look at verse 23. I have to develop this one a little bit. Some of you are familiar with this story, but let me just give it to you. 2 Samuel 16 and verse 23. The Bible says, "In the council of Ahithophel." Ahithophel was David's greatest counselor. "In the council of Ahithophel, which he counseled in those days, was as if a man had inquired of the oracles of God. So was all the council of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom." Ahithophel was the greatest counselor that David had. Gave him the best counsel. The Bible says it was like if you were asking the oracles of God. It's like if you were asking God himself. It's like going to Ahithophel was like going to the word of God for the answer. It'll never lead you astray. However, Ahithophel, if you turn back to chapter 15, turned on David, was disloyal to David. 2 Samuel 15 and verse 30. 2 Samuel 15 and verse 30, the Bible says, "And David went up by the ascent of Mount Olivet, Again, this is when he's running from Absalom. And wept as he went up, and had his head covered, and he went barefoot, and all the people that was with him covered every man his head, and they went up weeping as they went up. And one told David, saying, Ahithophel is among the conspirators with Absalom. And David said, O Lord, I pray thee, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. Ahithophel was David's greatest counselor. Ahithophel turned on David. He was among the conspirators with Absalom. Say, why? Why did that happen? Well, go back to 2 Samuel chapter 11. And let's remember one of the dark times of David's life. Remember, David committed adultery with a lady named Bathsheba. In 2 Samuel 11 and verse 3, the Bible says, And David sent and inquired after a woman. And one said, Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And by the way, when those words came out of the servant's mouth, the wife, that's where that relationship should have ended. But David went on and called for her and committed adultery with her. I want you to notice that Bathsheba was the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite. Her father's name was Eliam. Go to 2 Samuel 23 in verse number 34. 2 Samuel 23 in verse number 34. 2 Samuel 23 and verse 34, the Bible says, Eliphelet, the son of Ahasbi, the son of the Maachite, notice what it says, Eliam, the son of, now who's Eliam? Eliam's the father of Bathsheba. But notice who Eliam was the son of. Eliam, the son of Ahithophel, the Gilonite. Did you know that Ahithophel, who was David's greatest counselor, was the grandfather of Bathsheba, who David committed adultery with? See, why did Ahithophel choose to turn on David and to side with Absalom? Here's why Ahithophel did it. Because he grew bitter towards David because of David's sin with his granddaughter. Even though David had gotten it right, even though he'd repented and confessed it. And you say, well, that's justified. That's justified. But just to bring perspective, do you think it would have been justified for David to grow bitter at Saul? When Saul caused him to run like a dog, like a flea, to leave his family, to be chased into the territory of the enemies, the Philistines. You think it would have been justified for David to grow bitter towards Saul? I think the answer to that question is yes. And was it justified for Ahithophel to grow bitter towards David because he took advantage of his granddaughter? I think the answer to that question is yes. Say, well, what is the difference? Why did Ahithophel not was disloyal while David maintained loyalty? Here's number 8. Loyalty must actively guard against bitterness. Loyalty must actively guard against bitterness. Please understand this. We are all humans. And even more than that, we all carry in our heads a vain brain. Remember that? The vain brain that only sees things from my perspective. The vain brain that always assumes that I'm right and you're wrong. The vain brain that refuses to acknowledge to see things from your side. And look, your husband is going to do something, is going to say something, is going to take some action that you think was uncalled for and unprovoked. And it may have been. Or your wife will do something or say something or make a decision that you'll think, why did you do that? I didn't attack you. I didn't say, and you may not have. Listen, kids, your parents are going to say something they shouldn't have said. Your dad is going to get upset and maybe take something out on you that he shouldn't have taken out on you. Your mom is going to get upset at you for something that you really didn't do. Your pastor is going to say something and you're going to think, he said that just because of me. And what you don't understand is about 4 other people are saying the exact same thing. And it's going to happen. There's going to be situations where your boss is going to overlook you for something or not acknowledge you for something. And just because we're dealing with human beings, there's going to be situations where you hurt me or I hurt you. But you know what? When it comes to loyalty, we must just choose to guard against bitterness. Amen. Because when you allow bitterness to fester, when you allow bitterness to grow, it'll cause you to become disloyal. David could have become bitter towards Saul, but he chose not to. Why? Because he had already given the position of Saul his loyalty. And loyalty must actively guard against bitterness. Number 9. Loyalty is demonstrated by whom you are or are not willing to praise. 1 Samuel 18. 1 Samuel 18, look at verse number 6. The whole thing that started the big beef between Saul and David is found in 1 Samuel 18, verse 6. We're almost done. We got two more. We'll be done. 1 Samuel 18, 6. And it came to pass as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistines, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000, and to me they have ascribed but 1,000. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day forward. Someone said this, be weary of those who do not cheer for you when you are winning. Be weary of those who do not cheer for you when you are winning. See, loyalty is demonstrated by whom you are or are not willing to praise. It's interesting, we'll have people in over the last 7 years of ministry, we'll have people come to us and it's almost like they're showing off. They'll talk to me or they'll talk to my wife about how great all the kids are, and they'll start calling out kids in the church like, this kid's so great, this kid's so great, this kid's so great, and just, you know, not mention anything about our children. Which is fine. They don't need to mention anything about our children, but it just shows you something. Loyalty is demonstrated by whom you are or are not willing to praise. And like, I know my kids aren't perfect, but they're better than your kids. At least that's what my vain brain tells me. Loyalty is demonstrated by whom you are or are not willing to praise. When someone else gets a praise at work, when the boss says good job to someone else and that just bothers you, there's something wrong with your heart. When your husband gets a compliment, or your wife gets a compliment. We're talking about a genuine compliment, not some woman trying to be sleazy. But when your wife gets a compliment and it bothers you, men, there's something wrong with your heart. When your husband gets a compliment, ladies, and it bothers you, my pastor have to say that about you, doesn't he know who you are? There's something wrong with your heart. Loyalty is demonstrated by whom you are or are not willing to praise. Pastor got a mini refrigerator. Loyalty is demonstrated by whom you are or are not willing to praise. What was Saul's problem? Why couldn't, see, when the women say, Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000, you know what, I would like to think what I would have said if I was Saul is, yep, and I hired him. But no, it bothered him. You know, I want my children to do better in life than I have. It shouldn't bother you that your children are doing better than you. I'm talking about adults. Amen. Loyalty is demonstrated by whom you are or are not willing to praise. My mom and dad are constantly making statements about how they like our church and how our church is different than the churches we grew up in, but they like it. You know, he said, I love the Red Hot Preaching Conference. It's better than any conference I've ever been to. You go soul winning during the conference. We've never done that at a conference. Of course, they went soul winning a lot. You know, loyalty is demonstrated by whom you are or are not willing to praise. Number 10 is the last one. Go to 2 Samuel 16. 2 Samuel 16. 2 Samuel 16. Look at verse number 7. We'll be done. We looked at this already. Let's look at it real quickly. We're going to look at another passage. We'll be done. 2 Samuel 16, verse 7. And thus said Shimei when he cursed, come out, thou bloody man, thou man of Belial. The Lord hath returned upon thee all the blood of the house of Saul, in whose stead thou hast reigned. And the Lord hath delivered the kingdom into the hand of Absalom, thy son. And behold, thou art taken in mischief, because thou art a bloody man. Remember, Shimei was cursing David as he went. When David was going in defeat, when David was going in retreat, Shimei came out with his arrogance and was speaking against him. But notice 2 Samuel 19 and verse number 18. 2 Samuel 19 and verse number 18. Just real quickly. 2 Samuel 19, 18, just a few pages over. David is now coming back the victor. David is now coming back as the winner. He has beat Absalom, and he's coming back to take his position as the king. 2 Samuel 19 and verse 18. And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei, the son of Gera, fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan, and said unto the king, let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, Neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant does know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. And we won't keep reading, but if you keep reading, you'll find Abishai saying, let me cut off his head. I like Abishai. And David, of course, says no. Says, no one's going to die today. He forgives him. Let me ask you something. David, from this day forward, knows where Shimei's loyalties lie. You know why? Because loyalty is most clearly seen when there is an opportunity for disloyalty. Loyalty, number 10, is most clearly seen when there is opportunity for disloyalty. See, faithfulness is not loyalty. Consistency is not loyalty. Loyalty is often not really seen until there is an opportunity to be disloyal. And then we see who really is loyal. Shimei showed his hand. Shimei showed his cards. Shimei showed that Shimei really wasn't loyal. And you know, honestly, we don't like these situations, but when there's church splits, when there's people who leave, when there's people who go, those are the times that you clearly show where your loyalties lie. So here's a question for you. Are you loyal? Are you loyal? Let me finish by saying this. There is an order to loyalty. I don't have time to develop this, and I'll preach it in another sermon. But our loyalty should go in order of God. In all things, he should have the preeminence. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, then our spouse, then our children. That's the order of loyalty. God, then our spouse, then our children, then our ministries, and then our careers. You should not be more loyal to your career than you are to the ministry of God here at the church. You should not be more loyal to your children than you are to your spouse. You should not be more loyal to your spouse than you are to your God. Some of you are so mixed up, you're more loyal to your career than you are to God. And you skipped like five people there. It's God, spouse, children, ministry, career. Are you loyal? Are you loyal? Loyalty will give allegiance to positions, not people. Loyalty will carefully choose to whom it will give its allegiance. Loyalty does not seek to hurt even after breaking relationship. Loyalty will stick around even when things are not going well. Loyalty will not pursue its own agenda. Loyalty will not remain neutral or silent, but actively defend. Loyalty will seek to please those to whom loyalty is given. Loyalty must actively guard against bitterness. Loyalty is demonstrated by whom you are or are not willing to praise. And lastly, loyalty is most clearly seen when there is opportunity for disloyalty. Let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for these great stories in Scripture. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to begin to turn around the selfish culture we live in, where character, integrity, loyalty, these things mean nothing. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to begin to develop. And if no one here thinks this sermon is needed, Lord, I just pray for my children, that you would help my wife and I to raise children that know where their loyalty should lie, that will wisely choose who to give their loyalty to, and that they will not be fair weather friends. Father, we love you. Thank you for your loyalty to us. Thank you for the fact that you stick with us even when we hurt you and when we sin against you. You don't ever walk away from us. You said you will never leave us nor forsake us. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen.